Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week and a wonderful start to 2026. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But as we are in the new year, we are starting a new sermon series that flows off of the last sermon series, but also this sermon series will guide us in the direction that we're looking to go as a church for 2026. If you did not know, over the last month of December, we talked all about community, most importantly, the community that we get to have with God, where God was with us at the beginning, and He never stopped wanting to be with us. Then on Christmas Eve, we talked all about how God sent His one and only Son, who was Jesus. He was sent here to live with us, to be with us, to teach us, to lead us, and then to ultimately to die for us, to be that sacrifice, to pay for the price of our sins. And that price that Jesus paid was for many reasons, but the biggest one is so that we could be with God again. So when we choose sin, when we choose to live for ourselves, we walk away from God. And God said, I want to forgive you of these things that you've done wrong against me, so accept my Son, Jesus Christ, and that separation will be gone. So again, God is wanting to be in community with us personally. But the question then arises, what's next? What does it look like to be in community with God today? Well, one of the easiest ways to be in community with God is to know His Word, so to read the Bible here, to pray to Him, to praise Him, and to meet with fellow believers. And that's exactly what the church is for. If you did not know, Buckeye has a vision and a mission, and it is to reach, restore, and replicate. We reach those who are far from God, we restore their relationships with God through Jesus Christ, and we replicate Jesus in our daily lives. The year 2025, we made that year a focus of reach. So this is the whole reason that we poured so much time, money, and effort into starting our 614 service, which is the third service that happens here. And we've seen many people come to know Christ through this. And it's a place where you normally wouldn't find people that are saying, hey, I'm very uncomfortable in traditional church. And so they're saying, yeah, I want to be here. But you have to understand the 614 service, even though it is informal, it is definitely a place where we are glorifying God through our praise. We are reading God's word and discussing it, and we are still praying like crazy. But it's just in a less formal way, and you get a meal with it. So that's always a wonderful thing as well. So 2025, we made sure that reach happened with the 614 service. 2026 is going to be a year of restore. So this does not mean that we're going to stop reaching those who are far from God, okay? So it's not like we've reached enough people, we're good to go, never mind. If you're new here, I'm sorry, we're full. No, that's not what this is, all right? No, the reach is still going to happen, but we're adding the next layer. So when we say restore people's relationship to God, we mean to teach and disciple the people. That means to have small groups, ministries, and Bible studies. So over this next year, we're going to be doing a push for more studies and more small groups. And by the end of 2026, the goal is to have 80% of the church involved in a ministry, Bible study, or small group in some way, shape, or form. And so you may be asking, why are we even talking about this right now? That's a great question. Thank you so much for asking it. It's because the next 16 plus weeks, we will be going through key points of the book of Acts. The reason we're looking at Acts is because these guys are literally creating the church. They are creating the first looks of what discipleship is. They are setting an example of what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. So this is after Jesus is gone, after all of this has happened and they're still being hated and they're still being persecuted. And overall, what's happening is they're trying to figure out what a follower of Christ looks like and what the church is supposed to look like. And so they are a great example of what it looks like to follow Christ completely. Because you could beat them down, they're still going to spread the good news of Jesus. People called them stupid and drunkards, and they still share the truth about Jesus. People have false ideas and selfish wants in the early church, and they have to work through them, or God takes care of it for them. And so we'll talk about that later. So these people are trying to spread the gospel and teach others about the truth that is Jesus Christ, but we have to understand Jesus isn't there with them anymore. Jesus was killed on the cross. His body was buried. He comes back 3 days later, like he said he would, over and over again. And then Jesus teaches them some more, and he tells them, you got this, but don't worry about it, because I'm not leaving you alone to figure it out by yourself. And this is something that Jesus said over and over again, not just after his death and resurrections, but many times before that actually happened. And that's where we're going to start today. So we're going to turn to John 14, verses 25 through 27. John 14, 25 through 27 from the front. I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows and we have a stack there in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you today. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. And we're going to read John 14, 25 through 27. It says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So here we have Jesus is talking to his disciples, those who were closest to him, and Jesus tells them again, I am leaving. He tells them, I'm going to God the Father, but he says, it's okay, because I have an advocate that's coming for you, and it's the Holy Spirit, who God will send in the name of Jesus. So now this is super confusing, because if we are told someone is being sent for us, someone who is sent by God, we would definitely be thinking, this is awesome. I am very excited. This is going to be a wonderful thing. This is going to be the greatest leader of all time. He's going to stand up front. He's going to give the best sermons you've ever heard. And then you know what? He can go and be the one that points to us and says, this is where you're going to go. And this is the guy we're going to say, hey, everybody, look at this person that Jesus has sent for us, our fearless leader. He's strong. He's well-spoken. Look at this man. He is awesome. And that's what we would want if God said, I'm sending you a helper. But it's not exactly what God had in mind. This is what God does. He does it the right way, not the way that we think it should happen. And we've seen this in the Bible where the followers of God were very confused on who should be their leader because it's never who they wanted or expected. God even said to them, you don't need a person to lead you. You need me to lead you. And now Jesus is saying, don't worry, someone is coming to lead you. So I imagine they were hoping somebody awesome was going to show up. And so Jesus then builds up this Holy Spirit, this advocate for us. He says he's going to teach you all things. And he's going to remind you of everything that I have already said to you and taught you. And if you heard that, we'd be going, wow, this is amazing. I'm going to have somebody here, even though Jesus is going to be with God, we're going to have a guy that's going to remind us of all the things that Jesus said, told us already. That's fantastic because if you're like me, I need reminded very often. And then we're told he's going to lead us. He's going to teach us all things. That sounds amazing. But then we have a question. What does that look like? Who's it going to be? How will we know? And they say, well, you know what? It doesn't matter because this is the perfect person. You have any question at all? Go to the advocate. Are you not sure what Jesus meant when he said these specific words? Well, I'm going to go ask the advocate and tell him to remind me of Jesus' teachings. So we'll figure it out when that person shows up. And then Jesus, in verse 27, he leaves them with a promise. He says, I'm going to also give you true peace, which can only come from God. He flat out says, I'm going to give you something that the world cannot give you. We think if everyone is happy, well, that's peace then, right? We're all peaceful. It's all great. That's so false. Because inside of us, we can still have so much stirring right in here in our hearts and our souls. We can have resentment and we can have anger and jealousy and bitterness. And we can have this emptiness inside of us like something is missing. And that's because the peace that we look for in the world, it doesn't last and it's not real. The only peace that will satisfy you comes from God. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you real peace, rest for your soul. And then Jesus says, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. But I want you to know, you don't have to be upset. Do not worry. And why is that? Because God is with you. And God is awesome. God is amazing. And God is better than anything. We don't hear that enough. Those trials and temptations you're going through, guess what? God is better than all those things. Anything that this world has to offer, God is better than those things. When you're walking through the darkest valley, God is with you and He's better than anything else that is going on. This is something that should excite us. We should go, I'm not alone, and I have a peace that only comes from God. How awesome is this? So let's see this advocate. I'm sure they were just, yeah, let's have this happen. And so we're going to turn to Acts 2. Acts 2, 1 through 13, where it talks about when the advocate comes. Acts 2, 1 through 13. I'm apologizing to Kathy in advance because there are a lot of names that I'm going to mess up. Acts 2, 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. So it starts off and it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So Pentecost means 50. Now some say this is the 50th day from the death of Jesus. Some say it's the 50th day from when Jesus rose from the dead. And some say it's the 50th day from Passover. And we're not here to debate that, but it's a really interesting piece of information that most people do not know. But what's important is that this is not long after everything with Jesus has happened. So this is fresh in their minds. It's still being talked about. So it hasn't been 50 years. It hasn't been 50 months. It hasn't been 50 weeks. It's been 50 days, less than 2 months. And they're sitting here going, now what? That's the big question. What's next? What do we do now? And where is this advocate that Jesus was talking about? Well, here we see the disciples of Jesus, they were gathered together, and then a violent wind comes from heaven, and it fills the house where they are sitting in, and then a fire came and rested upon all of them. And this is something that we have seen God do time and time again. This whole mighty rushing wind, the shaking of a house, a holy fire, all of this is talked about over thousands of years of Scripture where we can see that God is doing this. And it's because it shows us that God is all powerful. Okay, we cannot make a mighty wind ourselves. You cannot shake a house just out of nowhere. You cannot make holy fire appear. God is the one who can do that. It shows us He's all powerful, but also He is present, that He is with us. And we see here, this is what they've been waiting for. And verse 4 says, then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the advocate. This is the helper, and you have to understand this is God. The Holy Spirit is God who lives inside of us. When you talk about the three in one or the Trinity, you have God the Father, and then you have Jesus the Son, who is fully God and fully human, and then you have the third, which is the Holy Spirit, who is God living inside of us. For some reason, we like to skip over that third one. We like to say, oh, I'm praising God the Father. He's almighty. He's amazing. He's created it all. I love Him with all my being. And then we say, Jesus, thank you so much for being born here, hanging on that cross for me, rising from the dead. And the Holy Spirit, you're cool. And then we move on. Like we forget a huge piece of the puzzle. And this is what they've been waiting for. It's God living inside of us. This is not a what. This is not a power. This is not a weapon. This is a who. And that who is God Almighty. And we get to have Him in us and living with us. And this was the first time that a whole group of people received the Holy Spirit. We read throughout the Old Testament about the Holy Spirit being in certain people. And so there was this special group. There were a couple of them throughout the Bible here called Nazarites. And they had to follow a lot of rules and regulations because they had been chosen to house the Holy Spirit inside of them. But because it was before Jesus Christ dying for all of our sins, we see that they had to really adhere to these rules or the Holy Spirit, God, will depart from them. But this is different from us today. This is different from these men that Jesus has taught and loved and showed them the truth. He's now paved the way for the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And we know that God can live in us because of other Bible verses that we read here. The problem I have is too many say, I don't have the Holy Spirit. Do you know Jesus and have you accepted Him? Well, yeah. Well, then you have the Holy Spirit. And you need to know this is what it said over and over again. Let's read Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for all who come to believe and trust in Jesus. He will live inside of you. Acts 1:5, for John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This came right from Jesus' mouth before He left them for the second time. Jesus again is promising them this advocate that will be with them to come and cover their whole being. Just like you were baptized into water, the Holy Spirit is going to come completely all over you and live inside of you. And then you have Acts 2, verse 38, further down from what we were reading. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is a gift for all. And I thank God daily that He lives with me, that I allow Him to lead me and love me and show me the way. Because if we're being completely honest, when we are left alone to do our own thing, to make decisions, if you're like me, how easily can we be swayed? Someone else says, well, I think you should do this. Maybe I should. I'm not going to really listen to the Holy Spirit inside of me because you're making some good arguments. How often do we walk the wrong path? How often do we choose to do what we want to do over doing what God wants? But with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, He's right in here going, ooh, are you sure about that? You're going to do that thing? And we're like, no. The answer's no, I'm not. No. Okay. And when I'm walking this way, I'm like, this is the way God's leading me, right? And the Holy Spirit's like, no. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going this. Yeah, I got you. And what happens is we feel this nudge. We feel that pull on our heart and on our mind. And it's what it is it's God trying to lead you, to show you how to live this life for Him, to stay close to Him. And the first followers of Christ, They were given the Holy Spirit, and then God gave them these gifts to show that this is all true. It says they allowed them to speak in all different languages, to preach the truth of Jesus so that all could understand. And even after being there and witnessing this firsthand, some still didn't believe. What did they say? Well, obviously, they're drunk. So we all know that drunk people become amazing at languages that they don't know, right? It's the power of alcohol. What? What a weird thing to say. I have been around enough people that were inebriated to know that they struggle with their own first language, let alone trying to speak one that they don't know or multiple language. But what it comes down to is people don't want to believe it. It's easier to come up with excuses. Even though they saw this miracle that was happening, they did not want to believe. Now I want you to know, I believe in a God that is all powerful and still does amazing things today. God can heal. God can have people speak in different tongues. If God wants something to happen, He can do it. But this is not the norm for us today. If we're going to be honest, it wasn't norm for the times right after Jesus. These occurrences of powerful gifts were not an always happening sort of thing. Too often, we go into the Bible and we go, man, look how many times that we saw these amazing things happen, these miracles, these healings, these speaking in other languages. You have to know, this wasn't something that happened every day. You wouldn't run across a group of Christians and go, okay, and how many people did you heal today? Okay, that's not how that went. Yes, they were out there healing people when God told them to, but it wasn't something that was experienced every day. It wasn't experienced every week. It wasn't experienced every month. What happened was it happened at certain times with certain people in certain ways that God deemed it to happen. He's the one that said, yes, here, we're going to make this happen. And that's not the norm for us usually today. But I've seen some of it. But what do we get? We get something else. And so we're going to read what gifts that we actually end up using almost daily. And so let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25. I would urge you, after this, please go back and read Galatians 5, 13 through 26. Read the whole chapter about living with the Holy Spirit. But we're going to focus on verses 22 through 25. This is what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is God leading us. This is what the Holy Spirit does when He's working in us and through us. That list, that is coming straight from Him. When we show these things in a godly way, what are you doing? We're being the church. We are helping people to be restored in their relationship with God. We are doing just as the first followers of Christ did. And this is something that needs to happen in our daily lives, not just when you enter this building. I don't want you walking in here going, yes, I'm going to go ahead and read this list. I will show love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, but only here. What? No. This is in your life every single day. Verse 25 is so important. It says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Meaning you have one life to live and you don't have to live it alone. You get to live it with God, with the Holy Spirit inside of us. So what do you need to do? You need to keep in step with Him. Meaning follow Him. Follow God's ways. Live your life like you're the first followers. And when we do, God will lead us to change the world through our friends, through our family and neighbors, anybody that you come into contact with. You have to understand, you're not in this alone. If he didn't leave the first followers alone, why do we believe the lie that he's left us alone now? He's right here. Choose to keep in step with him. So this is what brings me to the challenge for this week. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. I don't want to hear that you don't. If you have accepted Jesus, you have God inside of you. Now it is time to walk in step with him. And this is the hard part. You get to choose. You can walk your own way and do whatever you want, ignore the Holy Spirit, or you can walk with God. So what I want you to do is I urge you to pray every single day and ask God for the strength and the clarity to follow him and him alone. We are so easily distracted by our own thoughts and we think, I'm going to just do what I want. We're distracted by the world and what we think we should do. We're distracted by friends and family that tell us, no, do this instead. I want you to have the strength to follow God and the clarity to know this is what he's asking for you and from you. As we go through this sermon series, we're going to be looking at a bunch of things that the first followers went through and how we have some of the same struggles, but we also have some of the same victories as they did. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for every opportunity you give us to learn more about you, to grow closer to you, to grow in our understanding of who you are. Thank God you didn't leave us alone. Thank you for sending the Advocate, sending the Holy Spirit, sending God to live inside of us, to teach us, to lead us. You are the ultimate leader, and I pray that we can follow you completely. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. So we're now going to have a time of invitation. And what that means is if you need to talk to somebody today about anything going on, if you want to know more about Jesus, you want to know more about how to follow him, or if you're just saying, I'm feeling alone, we want you to know that you're not alone. I would ask you during this next song, if you have anything you want to talk about, please stand up. Let's head out those doors. And we'll talk about the next steps in your life to follow in God.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.